Woo! If you're planted on a solid rock foundation, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? My God, stand with me as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. I want to say happy Palm Sunday. What a joyous, momentous occasion that we celebrate today. Amen. If you did not understand or did not know the significance of Palm Sunday, hopefully by now you do. Amen. And you understand that our God came humbly as our Savior, as a lamb led to the slaughter. He came to give himself for his bride. What a joyous occasion today. If you got your Bibles, I'd like you to meet me in the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter. I begin reading in verse 1 this morning. We took our text in the book of Mark. Today we want to read about the same situation, but we're going to take our text today from the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter. I'll be reading verse 1 through 11. If you got that, would you shout yes? Amen. If you don't have that, the text is provided for you up on the screens behind me. If you need a Bible, make sure you see us before you leave this place today. Amen. What a great thing it would be to have your first Bible just before Easter 2025. Amen. We'll make sure you have a Bible before you leave this place today. The book of Matthew, the 21st chapter and the very first verse. The word of the Lord, according to the gospel according to Matthew says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two of his disciples. And he said unto them, Go over into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her." He tells his disciples, he says, "I want you to loose them, and I want you to bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of these, and straightway he will send them." And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Zechariah, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee meek." Everybody say meek. "The king comes unto thee meek, and sitting on an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus had commanded them to do. And they brought the ass and the colt, and they put on them their clothes, and they set Jesus thereupon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. And others began to cut down branches from the trees, and they strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and the multitudes that followed cried loudly, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." What does our King look like today? I want to preach to you for just a few moments what the Lord has laid on my heart on this beautiful Palm Sunday: the portrait of a king. The portrait of a king. All over this house, would you gently lay your Bibles down in your seat next to you? Would you lift a hand clap of praise and adoration? Come on, give exaltation to the King of glory, the Lord of lords, the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world. He deserves your praise. He deserves your worship. He deserves your adoration. Give praise to the King today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you're worthy of all of our praise today. You're worthy. You're the King. God bless you today. You may be seated. The portrait of a king. The portrait of a king. One of the beautiful things about artwork is when you look at something, you attempt to see the beauty in it. A few years back, we had a young man that attended this church that has passed on. Amen. But he was very dear to my heart. I baptized him in Jesus' name. He was with us for many years in this church. He came to me and he presented me with a picture. That picture can be found in the back hall of this church directly across from the kitchen. And in that picture, you will see there are many different things. You can look all throughout the picture and find different things that are hidden within the picture. How many know that a portrait to one person can be something totally different than a portrait to another person? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I want to talk to you for a few moments today about the portrait of a king. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the day on which Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a young donkey. This day has been described by Christians for generations as the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. How many have ever heard that phrase before? The triumphant entry in Jerusalem. Only your God can come humbly riding on a donkey instead of a horse down into a city where he will be mocked and spit upon and cursed and pierced and beaten and crucified and still have the victory. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the hair standing up. Only your God today can have a triumphant entry, come humbly riding on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem with all victory and all power in his hands. It is known as the triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. It was customary during the time of peace that a king would enter into a city on a donkey. But during wartime, it was customary that a king would enter into a city riding on a white stallion. If that don't make a statement to the church today, I don't know what will. Our God did not come to overthrow this world. He did not overcome to throw our political system. He didn't come to overthrow Rome or overthrow Caesar. He came to bring peace on earth. He came to redeem us unto himself by his blood, which was shed on Golgotha's hill. Our God made a triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. It was customary. He didn't come to make war. He's coming to make war. But at this time, on Palm Sunday, when he came riding on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem, he didn't come to make war. Amen. He came. He didn't come as a warrior on a white stallion during a wartime. He came as a king during the time of peace. It is recorded in Roman history in about 30 AD that there were, now this is not Bible, but it is recorded in Roman history in 30 AD that there were two processions that day. Amen. Many people don't know that that's recorded in history, but there were two processions that day. And while Jesus was coming through the gate of the city, on one side, riding humbly, Brother Eric, on a donkey. Amen. Roman history tells us that on the other end of the city, Pilate was coming through the gate of the city, riding on a white stallion. Jesus coming in on a donkey represented humility. It represented the love of our God, the servant's heart of our God. It represented the peace that he would bring into our lives. Can I tell you, if you're a blood-bought child of God, if you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, if you've repented of your sins, if you've been baptized in his name, if you've been filled with his spirit today, there's not enough devils in hell. There's not enough problems that can arise. There's not enough circumstances that can come your way that can take the peace of God out of your life today. He came to bring peace on earth. And there's not enough devils in hell to take it away from us. Yeah, we're living in a crazy world. Yeah, we're living in uncertain times. Yeah, we're living in unsettling times. But the church still has the peace of God. The church still has the peace of God. And Jesus coming riding in humbly on a donkey represented his humility. Hallelujah. Pilate coming in with his centurion soldiers and riding on a white stallion represented power and might and dominion. But can I tell you, at that time, it's not what he came to do. It's not what he came to do. Friend, I came to tell you today that for the kingdom of God to come to your city, it's going to take humility. For the kingdom of God to come to your city, it's going to take a servant's heart. For the kingdom of God to come to your city, it's going to take the love of God and the peace of God today. Hallelujah. It's going to take a servant's heart. It's going to take love, pompousness, attitude, your own power and your own might will never be able to get it done. It will never be able to bring the kingdom of God into your life. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How many know he came so he could live, he could start a church, he could die, he could suffer. He could redeem us by his blood. He could shed his blood for our sins so we could be baptized in his name and so we could be filled with his spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. By my spirit, he came so that he could pour out his spirit upon the earth. Hallelujah. Your sons and your daughters would prophesy. Your young men would dream dreams and your old men would see visions. He didn't come to set those disobedient people free from Rome. That's why those that were cheering him on and singing Hosanna in the highest and singing blessed be the one that cometh in the name of the Lord turned right around and were the very ones that were yelling crucify him, because they realized that he was not coming to free them from Rome. He came to set the world free from sin. He did not come as a political figure. He did not come as a military king. He came as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords is he. Isaiah 9 and 6, one of my grandfather's favorite verses, for unto us is a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Come on, somebody. And his name, what's his name today? And his name, the name of Jesus, shall be called Wonderful, shall be called Counselor, shall be called the Mighty God, shall be called the Everlasting Father, and he shall be called the Prince of Peace today. Clap your hands if you know him as the peace that surpasses all understanding in your life today. Clap your hands and give the Lord some praise today. He came humbly but triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem. He's my king today. He's my king. He's my king. He's the everlasting Father. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the Prince of Peace. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it dumbfounding that the very ones that on that Sunday worshiped him and praised him and shouted Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They did this on Sunday, but by Friday they were shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. One of the reasons that the crowds turned against Jesus was he refused to become the king that they wanted. Can I tell you, everybody wants a king, but not everybody wants the word of a king. Can I tell you, everybody wants a king, but not everybody wants the rule of a king. Everybody wants a king, but not everybody wants the discipline of a king in their life today. One of the reasons why they turned on Jesus was because he refused to be the kind of king that they wanted him to be. He refused to be the king that they pictured. He refused to be a political figure. He refused to be a military leader who would free them from the Roman government. Can I tell you today, he's too great to allow us to put him in a little box. He's so much greater than a political figure. He's so much greater than a military leader. He's the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world. He shed his blood that we might be free from sin today. He's too great, church, to allow us to put him in a little box. He's not going to be the king that we want him to be, but we have to be the kind of child of God that he wants us to be. Amen. Being a child of God doesn't mean that your life is always going to be a bed of roses. Come on, we talked about it in the adult session this morning. Being a child of God doesn't mean that you're always going to get everything that you think is fair and is right. Being a child of God doesn't mean that your life's always going to be a bed of roses. What it means is there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's a God that'll go with you in the valley, down in the valley of decision, down in the valley of Elah. No matter how big your enemy gets, no matter how big your trials and your temptations get, God will never leave you and never forsake you. Doesn't mean your life's always going to be a bed of roses and you're going to get everything you ever asked for. I'm talking to you today about the portrait of a king. Hallelujah. I'm amazed sometimes. Come on. Look, being a child of God doesn't mean that you're always going to have a bed of roses. It means you're always going to have a king. Huh? It means you're always going to have a king. It means you'll never be without a king. That's what being a child of God means today. A king who's able to give you life eternal. A king who's able to turn your life around. A king that's able to overcome every enemy that rises up against you. A king that the gates of hell will not prevail against. I'm talking about you will have a king when you're a child of God. King who's able to wash your sins away by his blood and fill you with his very own spirit and help lead you and guide you and help you to make the right decisions in your life. A king, come on, that is the Holy Ghost, a king that will give you an unction, a king that will cause you to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm amazed the amount of people that turn their back on the Lord because he doesn't give them what they want. My God, help us today. I'm amazed at the amount of people who walk away from God because of a prayer that they prayed and they didn't get exactly what they asked God for. I'm amazed today. I'm telling you, you're looking at the wrong portrait. You're looking through the wrong lens. You don't have the right view. You're not looking at the same God that I'm looking at today, because my God, his ways are higher than my ways. My God, I trust in him when I can't trust in myself. My God knows the path that I take, and he orders my steps. I'm talking to you about the portrait of a king. How do you see your God today? They saw him in a way that they wanted to see him. Many people today see him in a way that they want to see him instead of who he truly is today. He's too great to allow us to put him in a little box. I'm amazed. Amen. They were looking at the wrong portrait. When Jesus came into that city, church, he upset the religious system. He began to turn over tables in the temple of the money changers. He told them they had turned the house of God, Brother Joe, into a den of thieves. He didn't come to appease people. He didn't come. He came to redeem us by his blood. He came to put his spirit in us. He came to teach us right from wrong. He came to redeem man unto himself. Hallelujah. But we view him in a way that we want to view him. He turned over those tables of those money changers. He told them they had turned the house of God into a den of thieves. He cursed a fig tree because there was no fruit on it. He spake parables to religious leaders and told them that the kingdom of God was taken from them. I'm not talking about lost worldly people. I'm talking about religious leaders. I'm talking about the church today. Can I tell you that the Lord chastens those whom he loves? Can I tell you today, if God ain't never whipped you, he ain't your God. Can I tell you today, if God ain't never corrected you, if God ain't never spoke to you, if God ain't never beat on you just a little bit, sometimes God's got to beat some stuff out of us today. The Lord chastens those whom he loves. He walked straight into his house and started turning over tables because they had turned his house into a den of thieves. He came to redeem man from sin. He didn't come as a political figure. He didn't come as a military leader. He didn't come to give them everything that they wanted. He came to give them what they needed. Can I tell you today, God's more interested in what you need than what you want. Can I tell you, God's more interested in what's good for you than what satisfies you? Huh? Come on, God's more interested in your level of obedience than he is your level of comfort. Come on, God wants you to walk humbly before him because he came humbly to die for you. And as he gave his life for us, we ought to give our lives for the brethren. Today, how will men know that you're my disciples except you love one another? Except you love one another. He came to redeem man of their sin. But they were looking at the wrong portrait. What kind of king do you want today? You want one that knows exactly what you need? You want one that's able to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? Or do you just want one who's going to give you everything that you want? Because I come to tell you today, if you think your God's just going to give you everything that you want, you're looking at the wrong king. You're looking at the wrong king. He wants you to make heaven your home. He wants you to be restored unto him. He wants you to be touched by him. Look, we have not a God who is not touched by the feeling of our infirmity today. God knows exactly what you're going through. He didn't say you wouldn't have to go through it. He said he'd be there with you when you go through it. He didn't say you wouldn't have to go through the fire. He said he'd keep you through the fire. He didn't say you wouldn't have to go through the river. He said the river would not overflow thee. My God, somebody clap your hands and give the king some praise today. Hallelujah. Somebody give him some praise today. Hosanna in the highest, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. What kind of king do you want today? One who gives you everything you needed. I don't have to tell you what happens to a child that grows up getting everything they want. I don't have to tell you what kind of adult they become. I don't have to tell you what it does to a human being to get everything they want. God's not interested in your level of comfort. God is interested in giving you exactly what you need. Hallelujah. What kind of king do you want today? The day that Jesus rode into town on that little donkey was the day we saw the portrait of our king. The kingdom of God is going to come to you through submission. The kingdom of God will only be available to you through submission. You must submit to your king. You know what happened in those ancient worlds when someone didn't submit to the king? It wasn't good. We got to submit to our king today. We got to submit to our Lord today. The kingdom of God will only come to you through submission. It's going to come to you through the dying out of the old man and the resurrecting of a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's how the king is going to come to you. Isaiah saw the portrait of a king. The Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And Isaiah goes on to say that the Lord's train, it filled all the temple. It filled all the house where we were at. And he said, I saw him in victory and the whole earth was full of his glory. Isaiah saw the portrait of a king. When he rode down that city, rode down that hill into the city of Jerusalem that day, it wasn't about overthrowing Rome. It was about redeeming us through his blood. That's why when Isaiah said he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said the whole earth is full of his glory, immediately he said, I saw my king. And when he said those words, a seraphim come right down off of that statue and swooped down, and it had a burning coal of fire, and it touched the lips of the prophet. And Isaiah said, my iniquity is dried up. My sin is purged out of my life. Isaiah saw the true king today. He came to redeem us with his blood. He came to set us free from the bondage of sin. He came to set us free from iniquity. And Isaiah saw that seraphim come down. Amen. And it swooped down and it touched the lips of the prophet. Amen. It wasn't about overthrowing Rome. It was about being redeemed by his blood. And when the glory of the Lord filled the house, Isaiah began to speak these words. He said, I was unclean. He said, I was undone. He said, mine eyes have seen the king. I'm talking to you about the portrait of a king. And as soon as he said those words, my eyes have seen the king, the seraphim flew down, touched the lips of the prophet with a burning coal of fire. Can I tell you, that's what your king came to do today. He came to set you free. He didn't come to make your financial decisions for you. He didn't come to make your marital decisions for you. He didn't come to make your career decisions for you. He came to redeem you with his blood. He came to set you free from the law of sin and death. He came to redeem you with his blood. Isaiah said, I was unclean. I was undone. I was broken before the Lord, but my eyes saw the king. And as soon as he said it, all of his iniquity was taken away. All of his sin was purged out of his life. And the Lord spake to the prophet and he said, who shall I send? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Here am I. I was unclean, but you touched me. I was undone, but you made me whole. I was bound by sin, but you washed them away. Here am I, Lord, send me. Why did Jesus come riding humbly on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem? Because he needed to start a church. That church is alive today. You're a part of an end time harvest church. You're a part of an apostolic church that's still preaching the apostles' doctrine, still believes in the Pentecostal experience, still believes in separation from the world. You're a part of an apostolic church today, and you don't have to live that way. You get to live that way today. He came to set us free. He came to wash away our sins. He came to cleanse us from all iniquity. We were born into sin. We were shapen in iniquity, but our King came. Our King came. And he rode humbly down the hill into the city of Jerusalem. The Lord said, "Who shall I send?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. I will go." What kind of king do you want today? One that won't commission you, or one that will commission you? Can I tell you, everybody under the sound of my voice today has a commission of God. You have a commission of God today. "Whom shall I send?" the Lord said. And the prophet said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." What kind of king do you want today? The Lord looks at Isaiah and he said, "Go tell everybody." What did he do? He went out. He began to tell everybody about how his eyes had seen the King. Can I tell you today, I can't listen to that song without crying my eyes out. I can't listen to that song. I can't hear about that seraphim coming down and touching the mouth of the prophet and cleansing him. And him saying, "Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. My eyes have seen the King." I want that kind of king today. I want to see that kind of portrait of my king today. He said, "Go tell everybody." Can I tell you, his entry into Jerusalem was about his death. It was about his burial. It was about his resurrection. It was about the plan of salvation. It was about a church that would be born on the day of Pentecost and would still be alive today. That's what the coming of our King was about. He rode into Jerusalem that day. It was about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It was about repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of his Spirit. It was about him redeeming man unto himself. As the musicians come quickly, I'm talking to you about the portrait of a king. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. How is it that two saints can go to the same church and one can see all the good, but another, all they see is bad? Because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. How is it that two people, both washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, can appreciate God? How is it that two people healed by the same God, one can return to give him glory and another go their way like nothing ever happened? Because of the way they view the portrait. Because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. How do you see your King today? How do you see the Lord of glory today? Is he the greatest thing that ever happened to you in your life? Is he the best thing that ever happened in your life? Is he the reason for your very existence? Is he everything and everything to you today? Or is he just a Tuesday and a Sunday exposition? Is he somebody that you just want in your life when it's convenient for you? Or is it somebody you're going to give your life for today? How do you see your King? How do you see your King? Ah, God. The palm leaves, they represented immortality. In Egypt, there was a tradition of people carrying palm leaves in a funeral procession as it represented eternal life. The palm branch was also a symbol of spiritual triumph. Come on, as the Lord came down that hill today, those people didn't have nothing, Brother David. All they had was the coat was on their back and the branches that was on the trees. Guess what they did? They got their hands on anything they could because their king meant everything to them. They started taking their coats off, laying it in the way. They started cutting off branches. They started waving them before the king. Why? Because they had to worship the king. How do you view your king today? How do you view your king today? Is he everything to you? Come on, it's about spiritual victory today. He didn't come to make every decision in your life. He didn't come to force himself upon you. God is a gentleman today. He, listen, forced praise, it's not praise at all. Forced worship, it's not worship at all. He's not going to force himself on you. He wants you to get out of your seat. He wants you to lift your hand towards heaven. He wants you to open your mouth and shout hallelujah. How do you see your king today? What is your portrait of your king today? Because on Palm Sunday, he came humbly. The people didn't get what they wanted, but he's still the king. Come on. He didn't overthrow Caesar. He didn't overthrow Rome. He didn't return them to Israel. No, he came to set them free from sin. He came for us just as much as he did for them. And 2,000 years later, we're still rejoicing. We're still enjoying the benefits of his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. How do you see your king? Because on Palm Sunday, he came humbly. But when he comes back to call his church again, when he comes back and he puts one foot on land and one foot on sea, can I tell you, he ain't coming humbly. He ain't coming quietly. He ain't coming. He's coming to overthrow some stuff. He's coming to make war. He's coming to take back the earth. He's coming to redeem his people unto himself. Hallelujah. How do you view your king? What is the portrait of your king today? He won't be riding on a donkey next time. He won't be spit upon next time. He won't be mocked next time. He won't be pierced in the side next time. There won't be no crown of thorns next time. There won't be no crucifixion next time. He's going to put one foot on land. He's going to put one foot on sea. He's going to declare time to be no more. And he's going to take us up out of this place. Clap your hands and give praise unto the Lord today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My friend, he's coming with all power. He's coming with all authority. He's going to put one foot on land and one foot on sea. The Lord, strong and mighty, is going to call his children home. Those that are blood bought, those that are spirit filled, those that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My God, I'm coming to tell you today, he's going to usher us up out of this place. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he's going to call the church right up out of this place. And we're going to be with the Lord forevermore. Forevermore. How do you view your king today? On Palm Sunday, he came humbly. There was not enough devils in hell to stop it. Peter, I talked about this in the morning session. Even Peter, a disciple of the Lord, wanted to stop it. He pulls out his sword out of his sheath and he cuts off the soldier's ear. And Jesus called him the devil, sis. He said, put up again the sword into its sheath. He rebuked him. He literally called him Satan. Come on. You know why? Because you can't stop what God came to do. You can't stop what he came to do. He didn't come to overthrow Caesar. He came to redeem us by his blood. These altars are open. If you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I want you to get out of that seat right now. I want you to come up here and I want you to sing Hosanna in the highest to the King of Kings and the